In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I have learned from Father Thomas Hopko that the Feast of the Dormition has sometimes been called the Summer Pascha, the Summer Pascha. We're still within the post-feast, the time immediately following the feast. It's kind of the glow of the feast, you know. It's like when the sun comes up or the sun goes down. I've always noticed, I'm sure you all have too, if you go out and watch the sun rise, it takes a while. And so there's a pre-feast. The light is just beginning to show on the horizon long before the sun actually comes up above the rim of the world. And it's the same with the feast. There's that first lightening of the dark sky before the ending of the fast, I guess. I don't mean to make the fast sound so terrible, but I guess it's kind of like that. The feast is coming. And then when the feast ends, when it goes down, there is the light of that sun going down. It lingers. And we're within that period of time, that post-feast of the Feast of the Dormition. If we're college students and we live in a dormitory, that place is called a dormitory because it's the place where you sleep. Dormitory is Latin for the place of sleeping, the sleeping place. And so we say about the Theotokos, who has died, in the icon we're looking at, she is dead. The mother of Jesus Christ, the mother of the incarnate Son of God, has died. But we say that she is asleep because for us, for Christians, death is a passageway into life. And so we welcome death as this passageway. It has no fear for us because it has been trampled down. Its power over us has been trampled down. We don't live in the fear of death. Christians don't. Even in our spiritual life, we are not afraid to put on Christ by dying. Father Thomas says that that's what it means. To put on Christ means to die. We cannot put on Christ, we cannot live in Christ without dying. Now here with the Theotokos, we're talking about her death at the end of her life. But the other thing that we're also talking about is the fact that in our spiritual lives, we can't begin to live the life that God has made possible unless we accept the death of ourselves in the sense of the old Adam, the one who is filled with the pride of this world and believes that he or she does not need God. We fear death, and so we build up as many barriers against it as we possibly can. Christians don't do that. We believe in Christ. To believe in Christ is to believe that life is in Him, not in the things of the world and not in ourselves. And so we don't fear death. We are not dominated by the presence of death. If we fear death, then we are dominated in our lives and all of our dealings by death and the fear of death. Here in the icon of the Dormition of the Theotokos, she has definitely died. And we celebrate this death as a life-giving event. She is the first fruit of Christ's own death on the cross and his resurrection. Those of us who are Christians, who die to our worship of this world and its idols, and instead worship God and believe in Christ, that he has the power to destroy death, we enter into and share his life. Beginning by baptism, we are baptized into his life. It is a death and resurrection sacrament, a death and resurrection experience. And when we come to the sacrament of confession, that's a death and resurrection experience too. We can't come to confession and confess our sins without dying in terms of our pride, It hurts the prideful, false person that doesn't, as a matter of fact, even exist, that we identify with, an idol of ourselves that we've made up in our own minds that we don't want to see die. That is exactly what has to go when we come to the sacrament of confession. We are repenting of having worshipped that idol and lived our lives as though Christ meant nothing, as though we were not Christians, as though we didn't believe in Christ. And so the sacrament of confession, it too is a death and resurrection. It's important for us to recognize when we look on the icon of the Dormition of the Theotokos that this is a real death. Now, we also said about Mary, the Mother of God, the Mother of Jesus, the Theotokos, that she was taken up by Christ to the right hand of God. That's what it means to be a Christian, to die to this world and to be taken up to live in the presence of God in Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. Christianity isn't a set of moral teachings or guides in a basically secular way of life that if you follow these writings in Scripture, you'll be a better person. Christianity is about death and resurrection. It's about my death and resurrection and your death and resurrection. And the fact that all of us can be as we see the Theotokos, arising. Well, where is she arising in this icon? She's lying dead there. The background of the icon, there is a mandorla, that almond shape. Whenever you see one of those, you know that you're looking at something that cannot be seen in ordinary time and space. An event is taking place there that is permanent and changes everything and is the real reality of things, where time and eternity overlap and a historical event makes a difference in the way things actually are, eternally. And what event is going on here? It is the death of the Mother of God, the death of the Theotokos. And she, because she's like the first Christian, you see, the first Christian. No, this hasn't happened to anyone else previously. This is the first time. She, like her divine son, tramples down death. By death, by his death. By his death, she tramples down death and cannot be held in the tomb. Death cannot hold her. It's true of anyone whose life is in Christ. Death cannot hold you. Not at the end, with the separation of the body from the soul, and not in this life either. Spiritual life is trampling down the presence of death in this world by the death of Christ. Death cannot hold us. We are not bound by death. If it is Christ that we believe in, if we are willing to die to this world, death cannot hold us. And that is shown, revealed in this icon as well. Within that mandorla, we see Christ himself. And in his arms, wrapped in swaddling clothes, is the Theotokos. The arisen Theotokos. This is a death and resurrection icon. It is the death and resurrection of the Theotokos. Now, we're so world-oriented that when we think of resurrection, all we can think of is the cemeteries and the last trump sounding and all of the dead arise and we, what, go out in the world and live in the world the way we did before? I mean, that's not the nature of death and resurrection. Resurrection means arising into a life at one with God as we were meant to live from the beginning. We can begin to do that in this life. We can begin to live a life that has died and been, I've heard this expression somewhere, been born again. We can begin to live that life. And if we live a born again life, what does that mean? It means that we are trampling down death by death all of the time. Every time there is a temptation, every time there is the possibility of our falling into some sin, missing the mark of living life as God means for it to live and has made it possible for us to live, living a Christ-like life, living a Christ-revealing life, every time our choice is to believe in Christ, remain in Him, and trample down death by death. That's what it means to live a born-again life. There are some other meanings, but that's our understanding of it. The word dormition is a Latin word. There's a Greek word for it too. It just means falling asleep. But there is always pressure in our secular world to make our faith compatible with world-loving desires at large in the world. And there is an example of that sort of thing when it comes to the Feast of the Dormition. For the Orthodox, these things that we're talking about the Dormition of the Theotokos and her ascension that we affirm, are part of the secret teachings of the Church. We don't proclaim them as dogmas. Something happened once, not that long ago, in my lifetime anyway, so that's not that long ago, as long as it's in my lifetime. In 1950, the Roman Catholic Church declared it as a dogma that people must believe in what they called the Assumption of Mary. Now that was odd, because as I say, dormition is a Latin word. The West had always had the Feast of the Dormition. And where this word assumption came from, very strange. The Roman Catholics thought that the Orthodox would be overjoyed because they know that for us, the feast day of the Dormition is a very important feast. There's a whole fast devoted to it. And they said, look here, we've made this feast that you love so much. It is dogmatically taught that this feast has got to be recognized, but we weren't happy with it at all, and they couldn't understand why. The problem is that, now not everywhere, but amongst some Roman Catholic teachers, they began to teach that Mary never really died, that she just ascended, she was taken up. That's what assumption means, to be taken up. And the icons, well, they weren't even icons anymore, but the paintings, the Roman Catholic paintings, that they made. It didn't even look like, they don't look like icons anymore by 1950. They don't look at all like icons. But instead of modeling them on Christ in the tomb, as you see here, they were modeled on the ascension of Christ. This feast day for her death was celebrated with a religious painting where Mary was simply ascending into heaven. What happened to death? So, hey, death is not popular. Nobody wants to die. Do you have to die inwardly, spiritually, in order to be a Christian? Well, maybe not. You know, maybe you can just, you know, change or feel different or something. No, death is essential. God changed the meaning of death. He changed the meaning of suffering. That's the Christian faith and nothing else. We can come up with something else. We can teach and preach something that is more acceptable in the 21st century, where we believe so incredibly, intensively in this world, that the very idea that we have to die to ourselves and arise and live a life where we don't live by venerating the icons, the images, the idols of this world, who can even imagine that? I mean, that's just, to quote a young lady I was talking to recently, that's just weird. That is weird to think that. Another thing that is happening in this icon is that you see people around Mary. They are, in some icons it's more obvious than others, but this is part of the teaching of the icon, they are within that mandorla. They are associated with the Theotokos, who is lying there, asleep in Christ, asleep in Christ. Now who do we see there? We see the apostles, and we see bishops. In most icons there are two, and in ours there are three. One of the bishops is St. James, brother of the Lord, and the other bishop, or in our case two bishops, are St. Dionysius, the first bishop of Athens, and the second bishop of Athens, whose name slips my mind. And why they are all there is very significant. Now, if you hear the hymns that we sing at the feast day of the Dormition, there is hymnography about all of the apostles being gathered from all of the corners of the earth and by miraculous means being brought together so that they could be here as we see them in this icon. Father Thomas Hopko points out that we don't have to necessarily believe that that is historically, specifically, what happened by miraculous means. That's not the teaching of the feast day. That's not the teaching of the icon. There is another teaching that is more important, that hymnography, talking about the gathering of all of the apostles, is a way of referring to. Now, what is that? Dying to ourselves and being alive in Christ. That is the condition of all Christians. That is the condition of all members of the church. There is an eternal sharing by all of the members of the church with what is being witnessed to in this icon, the death and resurrection of the Mother of God, that Christ has made possible by destroying the power of death on the cross. That is at the heart of Christian life. It is everything that Christian life is about. This is an icon of the church. Bishop James, brother of the Lord, is the bishop of Jerusalem, the Jews. Bishop Dionysius of Athens is the bishop who is standing in for all of the Gentiles. You have the gathering of the Jews and the Gentiles. You have the gathering of all of the apostles. You have the gathering of all members of the church. There are other people there too. All of them are inwardly dead to this world. Otherwise, they wouldn't be Christians. But Mary has died, physically died. And she is the proof of our resurrection. The inward resurrection that all Christians experience in order to be able to actually live the life in Christ, that was her life. She lived that way her entire life. She is the first purely mortal person to show that it is true that Christ has saved us, and that death can't hold us. She shows that. That's what's being attested to, claimed in this icon, that all of us will arise. That all of us inwardly are able to arise now in the pursuit of our spiritual lives. All of those things are being shown, are being witnessed to by this icon. In our lives, we have the temptation to abandon the Christian faith, worship idols of this world. But that is a temptation that needs to send us directly to God, to pray to Him and ask Him to give us the new life that we need. By repentance, we die to ourselves. Not by a formal repentance, but by a repentance that comes from the love of God. So that all of us can experience the life in Christ that is so easy to talk about, but so demanding and so rewarding once we actually begin to enter into that life. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen.